jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. We're waiting to see when Governor Tim Walz is going to begin speaking. Obviously, he's bowing out in Minnesota. He's not going to be running for re-election because there's just too much fraud being exposed. And some might say it's an indicator of guilt. But others will say, I'll hold off, wait a little bit. Don't just assume he's guilty. So you guys could just figure that out on your own. But folks, that's good news for the state of Minnesota. Sure, they'll try to shuffle in another corrupt politician, of course, as they always do. But we'll take a little victory lap when we can. We're going to be taking your calls as well throughout the third hour of the show. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you want to weigh in on Mark Kelly, that is the line to call into. And again, like I discussed, we're going to be diving into a couple more stories. Again, a lot more to discuss. I don't know if you guys saw this story. It happened earlier this morning. And of course, because I'm up at the crack of dawn, you know, I caught on to it. But I thought it was very interesting because 10 people have been convicted in France of cyber harassing the first lady, Brigitte Macron. Now, of course, it's the rumors that she is a transgender woman, which she claims are completely false. But Brigitte Macron, apparently not very happy, and the court's not so happy either. They have apparently sentenced 8 men and 2 women to suspended prison sentences of up to 8 months in prison. Don't you dare call her a man, or you're going to end up in the criminal court system or sued for defamation as well. Keep that in mind. But just, you know, it's one of the many interesting things going on right now with the Macrons, of course. I also want to dive into the latest on the fraud that's been going on. Obviously, as many of you guys know, we've been digging into the alleged fraud going on in places like Minnesota and other places as well. But it's been interesting to sit back and watch. There was a very interesting Liz Collins post. It was a Craigslist post. And I don't know. I thought it was quite interesting when I was looking over it. This, again, I don't know if it's clickbait. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's false, if it's just people pretending like this is a real Craigslist post. But it was officially up on Craigslist, just so you know. There was a live link where you could go to and you could view it yourself. But ultimately, Liz Collins posted that there's this Minneapolis Craigslist posting, which says that they're searching for child actors for daycare sites, and where funding has been apparently ripped away without cause. And it kind of sounds a little fake, but it was on Craigslist. It goes on to say it's about $1,500 a day. Seems like a lot. Very generous amount. And again, they're looking for up to 20 children actors for 3 days while the state is present on site. I can't imagine that being real. You think the Somalians would be able to just make some phone calls and call around to get that ball rolling? So we'll keep our eye on that. Also, there was a story regarding J.D. Vance, the vice president. Apparently, there was a man arrested. Police have arrested a suspect after responding to an incident at his Cincinnati home in Ohio. Officers rushed to his residence after a report that a suspicious activity was taking place. Apparently, several windows were smashed. A suspect was taken into custody. We don't have the details on that yet. But I can only imagine. Why they would be doing such a thing. These people are full of hate, rage, and they're evil. So no surprise there, but no word of any injuries or if his children were home, of course, which would be absolutely devastating if that was the case. We're going to play a couple more clips for you throughout the show. We've got a lot more to discuss in a bit. Also, Hunter Gaylord joining the program. Specifically, I'm going to be focused with him on the economic issues here regarding Venezuela, oil specifically, also China, and how they've sent the price of silver skyrocketing today. I was watching as the cost of silver was going through the roof right now, and it's very, very pricey, but there's a lot behind it. So he'll join us to discuss just that. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now for a limited time. A few more hours left in this one. You get a free bottle of Atomic Defense or SheLegit gummies whenever you purchase a supplement over at the shop. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make that purchase today. Again, thealexjonesstore.com and make that purchase today.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're kicking off the third hour of the show by taking your calls, also diving into a couple more stories. Tim Walz, he put out a statement regarding dropping out of his re-election campaign. Many of you guys know he has been under the microscope in regards to fraud. A lot of people, a lot of Somalians doing just that. They're accused of taking millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars and shifting over to their buddies in Somalia. And, well, Tim Walz now bowing out of his re-election campaign. I don't know if it's a sign of guilt or maybe just people telling him that it's time to go. According to a statement that he did provide, he's apparently, again, bowing out. And Amy Klobuchar is apparently considering jumping in to replace him. So again, we'll keep our eyes on all things related to that. If he does actually speak, we'll bring it to you. But he might have just put out the statement to save his face because obviously this is very, very embarrassing for Tim Walz. And it probably means that there's probably going to be a criminal investigation soon. We'll be taking your calls too, folks, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 this hour as well. I wanted to play this. It's good news. We'll play clip 7 for you because Marco Rubio says that the NGOs are about to get cut off. Take a listen.
The United States has spent billions of dollars over the years in helping with health strategies all across the world. What we learned over time, and especially after coming here, is that oftentimes, and I'm oversimplifying it, but this is an accurate description. What would happen is we would go to a country and say, we're going to help you with our health care needs. Then we would drive over to Northern Virginia somewhere, find an NGO, one of these organizations, give them all the money, tell them, go to this country and do their healthcare program for them. That NGO would then take about, you know, some percentage of that money for their overhead and administrative costs. And by the time it got down to it, the host country had very little influence. It was sort of imposed on them. And only a percentage of the overall money ever actually reached the patients and the people on the ground that we were trying to help because of these costs. This makes no sense. So why are we hiring American and international NGOs to go into other countries and run healthcare systems that are parallel and sometimes in conflict with the healthcare systems of the host country? If we're trying to help countries, help the country. Don't help the NGO to go in and find a new line of business. And so that's what the model that we're breaking. We're not doing this anymore. We are not going to spend billions of dollars funding the NGO industrial complex while close and important partners like Kenya are either have no role to play or have very little influence over how healthcare money is being spent. Bottom line is, if you want to help a country, work with that country.
And as you guys see, Mark Rubio doing a great job at outlining just that, the NGOs are ripping us off because they're not doing the things that they're supposed to do. Surprise, surprise. So kind of good news. It's kind of good news. We'll see how long this lasts. All right, let's jump into some callers. Savage Dog, it's been quite some time we've heard from you. So welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good morning, Brianna. Yeah, it's been since the 18th. How was your new year and Christmas?
You know, it was good. It was quiet this year. I decided to just, you know, take a couple of days off and not do anything. But my parents were in town, so that's good news at least. But yeah, no, it was good. How was yours?
Oh, it was epic. It, awesome. It blessed. Everything was great.
Love it.
And now... you know, I was kind of blackpilling. But first, before we start, I need to make a correction. That thing you had up there, protest, that wasn't really a protest. That was Netflix was filming a miniseries called Lexi's Balls Finally Dropped. Free Madura. Yeah. So I've got like a whole page written out of notes, but I'll just go with one aspect of this. Everything good about this Venezuela raid, mm-hmm. And how it affects the United States, aside from oil and, you know, a stabilizing factor. Once it all pans out, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. But anyway, so far as, you know, how long, how many days has it been now? What's your count on X?
I don't have the exact count. I do the date each day. And it's very problematic because I'm hearing people over at the FBI aren't big fans of this tweet that I put out every day where I tell you no one's been arrested. No one's been arrested. I was told, though, by an individual that I should be happy with the three charges, the three indictments that came about. You might not remember them. Let me just remind you, you know, Tish James was at one point indicted, but those charges didn't stick. I believe there was another James Comey. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was also indicted. Those charges didn't stick. And then I believe there was another one named John Bolton. Now, those charges are still ongoing, I believe. But I was told to be happy with those, even though two of them served within a Republican president. And then the other one had nothing really to do with the massive amount of lawfare that we were kind of going through, the 2020 election, Biden, auto pen. So again, it was another BS thing that they threw us. But they threw us a couple of not even arrests, because I haven't seen a mugshot. So I won't even say they were put in handcuffs. They threw us a couple of indictments and told us to be happy with the Savage Dog.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for giving me my little introducing my prelude. Now, those things happened, I think, because they were small, just to test the waters, to show to themselves, even though they didn't articulate it to us, we cannot get even a trial with these people. Now, we've got a month or so ago, the head of Maduro's intelligence or whatever, spy network, defecting, coming over and spilling the beans. But let's start with this. Okay, so now we've shown that, you know, you can't, I got Comey and Big Tish. I forgot about Bolton. You know, okay, we can't do it, get anything done. Okay, let's go ahead and do the pre-work and put the cart before and put the horse in front of the cart. First, we took away the USAID funding. Okay, that was awesome. That was a great first step. And now Rubio talking about we're going to just defund the NGOs. Okay, now what's going on right now? Now we're taking away the mechanism of cheating the voting machines by eliminating the country of origin. You know, they now, you know, when once this pans out, they're not going to be in charge of Smartmatic and Brain Fart, the other one. So we got that going on right now. Now we got the spy chief, you know, spilling what he knows. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have an FBI agent sitting across the table from Maduro and saying, look, I'll tell you what, let's say you get 1 year in prison. There's a lot of Venezuelans in Rikers Island. You're either going to die by the people you starved out, or you're going to get killed by the cartel who assumed that you spilled the beans. Here's a legal pad and a box of pens. We'll come back in a couple hours and see how you're doing on diming everybody else out in America. I think that he's going to spill so much and give so much evidence, and so much is going to come out of this. We're going to finally see indisputable. Okay, now Maduro's in the Southern District, New York. That's bad. I think that was done just for the initial optics and showing Mondami. Look what we could do there, Chief. You better not go full blown commie. But once these names start coming out, then you're going to start seeing indictments and trials in Florida. I really hope so. I hope I'm not, you know, white pilling myself and, you know, really, you know, selling the hopium. But man, something's got to happen. I mean, this is great. Yeah. And they got the Hispanic vote. That's like a side issue, a political horse poop kind of side issue. But now what you said earlier about, you know, and what's his name, the guest you had on, I was trying to remember his name.
Is it Matt?
He said what I was going to say. You know, you're like, yeah, okay, now Venezuela's free, y'all can go home now. You know, kind of sounding catty, but I I look at these videos and I look at Venezuela, and if I was Venezuelan and I was living here, I wouldn't want to be here. I'd want to go to Venezuela where they're going to fit to be rich. I mean, Venezuela is a beautiful country with a huge coastline. They're going to be a destination. You give them 5 years and everything goes right in the world, and China and Russia and everybody gets out of their mess and they start getting rich, they're going to be the destination.
Yeah.
And now let's go to the future a little bit. Now let's say we take care of Mexico, and we take care of Cuba, and we take care of Colombia. And now we're starting to look at a North and South American coalition that, to the point where Trump can dump NATO and say, we're gonna have a complete economic military, you know, deal with North or South America, or keep a China out or keep a Russia out. They got the minerals, they got this and that, we got this and that, the huge trade deals and military treaties. I mean the future is huge with this move starting out. Now Trump knows we can do it. Now he's talking about Greenland again. Hey, you know, they added a dog sled to their national defense force. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. I got a good chuckle out of me. I mean, it was very bold for him to say to have a dog, and I love to hear him joke about that. But yeah, I mean, he's talking about it. UK doesn't want him doing it, and obviously Denmark doesn't want him trying to bring it into the United States. Again, he keeps people on their toes, and I think that's very important. For those of you at home, let me know also if you're going to be purchasing any real estate soon, anytime soon in Venezuela, because I hear it's going to be a very popular attraction once they get rid of these commies that are in their country. I'm pretty sure they're all fleeing at this point. I can't imagine anyone sticking around after what they just saw and how their military barely put up a fight. So Savage Dog, I think you're right. And I like the fact that you are a sense of optimism. We need that these days. So thank you for calling into the show, my friend. As always, we greatly appreciate your time. All right, let's turn to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Tidings to all the InfoWars crew as well.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in regarding this Venezuelan issue. I don't know if you remember, I've called in over the last several weeks trying to chart this whole Venezuelan thing. I think some of my predictions turned out to be kind of true. And I just want to, this Elon Musk meeting with Trump recently coincides with Trump. I don't know if everybody remembers, maybe you remember, I discussed the detail of the Institute of Peace, right, which is a huge USAID money laundering operation that Doge stormed in March of this year. And I think that led to the end of Doge because they found a bunch of stuff in there, and then they realized that there were all these compromised Republican and Democrat senators. And they also realized at that time that none of the Doge reforms would ever be passed through the Congress. And I believe that the whole public, kerfuffle between Musk and Trump was a distraction, a mirage, whatever, to make people think that that was over. And I think once they did get into the Institute of Peace, they found out that the Venezuela operation really needed to happen in order to oust all these corrupt politicians and people that were involved in this deal in 2020, some of these other fraud schemes, and so forth. So I just want to chart that I do believe that there's a dots to be connected here with the Doge operation, Musk, the Institute of Peace, all those people, the USAID money, now Rubio saying we're not giving any money to those folks. We're going to pay the governments directly. And I believe that there's going to be a cache of evidence, like I mentioned earlier, that will implicate some of these people. And you're seeing all these resignations of Democrat and Republican senators. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I believe that they're jumping ship because they're about to, have some serious problems.
Yeah.
And so when they get out of office, they try to claim the immunities and all the rest. This is a very common theme amongst these so-called public officials, right? Public servants, supposedly, which brings me to my final point. I know you have a lot of other callers. This issue, which I've also harped on several times in my calls, and it's important that everybody understands, I'm an attorney. I've dealt with local fraud issues. I've seen pattern and practice here in my local region in the Northeast and New Jersey. have taken these things to the FBI, to the local attorney general's offices, and so forth, with nothing being done with direct evidence, being shown. Trump's failure to appoint local prosecutors means that local fraud, like we saw with the Somali operation, is hard to get rid of. And I believe that they're hoping through the cache that they're able to clean out the system to some extent and also secure elections for the midterms.
And
elections moving ahead. And I just wanted to kind of tie all those things and have people look into the Institute of Peace and other researchers, because there's something there. And one final point I'd like to make. This Judge Brosberg is a big problem. And there has to be a huge effort with people to try to push congressional people to try to, I know Byron in Florida tried to get impeachment papers issued. But I do believe that he's using a series of funds and so forth that he's being influenced. And he's also aligned with the Venezuelan thing as well, Judge Brosberg.
Well, Jordan,
and so there's this huge coterie in Washington, D.C. of these people.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And we look forward to see how much more of this comes to the surface. I do think, though, seeing Musk at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend was definitely a good indicator. So I'm with you on that. Jordan, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your insight. And everyone else who's on hold right now, stay put. We're going to be taking your calls and diving in and out of that. But I just noticed over at the UN right now, Mike Waltz, the ambassador, is actually speaking in regards to Venezuela. Let's take a listen.
This past weekend, colleagues, the United States successfully carried out a surgical law enforcement operation facilitated by the U.S. military against two indicted fugitives of American justice, narco-terrorist Nicolas Maduro and Celia Flores. Colleagues, Nicolas Maduro is responsible for attacks on the people of the United States, for destabilizing the Western Hemisphere, and illegitimately repressing the people of Venezuela. As Secretary Rubio has said, there is no war against Venezuela or its people. We are not occupying a country. This was a law enforcement operation in furtherance of lawful indictments that have existed for decades. The United States arrested a narco-trafficker who is now going to stand trial in the United States in accordance with the rule of law for the crimes he's committed against our people for 15 years. A similar action was taken in 1989 against Manuel Noriega. He was arrested, indicted, convicted in a court of law, served in prison in the United States and in Panama, and the Panamanian people, the American people, are safer for it. And undeniably, the region was more stable. This law enforcement action was directed consistent with the President of the United States' responsibility as Commander-in-Chief to protect Americans at home and abroad against a fugitive who is directly responsible for narco-terrorism that has killed hundreds of thousands of Americans and created destabilizing violence throughout our hemisphere. Nicolas Maduro and his co-defendant, Celia Flores, have been transferred here to the United States to stand trial for their crimes. Maduro was indicted by a grand jury in the Southern District of New York and faces very serious criminal charges for his involvement in a wide-ranging conspiracy to conduct narco-terrorism, to traffic cocaine and other drugs, and conducting international weapons trafficking. The overwhelming evidence of his crimes will be presented openly in U.S. court proceedings.
All right, I'll step in on this. We are waiting him, or we're waiting to see him in federal court. Obviously, he's being shuffled over there now. We saw the helicopter ride over to a federal courthouse, Southern District of New York, in Manhattan. So we'll bring any information as it continues to develop, of course, on that front. Again, also, we're waiting for Tim Walz might actually come out with a statement soon. We'll keep our eye to that as well. But let's turn back to some callers. We've got about 3 minutes left. So Cheese Nader from Wisconsin, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year. Yeah, I'm kind of like in the pro-smoking communist group. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a great thing that Trump did this with Venezuela. Like, people talk about domestic problems and Antifa and stuff. But you have the opportunity to get all this oil and also take care of a big problem in the region. And, you know, I don't understand, like, Israel gets to go into Palestine and snatch up the West Bank, and Russia gets to go into Ukraine and get Eastern Ukraine. But, like, the U.S. is supposed to be some redheaded stepchild or black sheep. And, you know, it's a dirty business. So, you know, it's not nice, but it's kind of like a big dog eat little dog world. And Trump, I think, is a genius to do that. I wish he would keep going, like, the amount of chemical warfare that has been done to the children of the U.S. and the citizens of the U.S. with the drug, the poisonous drugs coming in, needs to be stopped and needs to be, like, revenged. In Colombia, they have, like, government. I don't know if you saw, Brianna, they have, like, government officials during the Christmas holiday worshiping at a literal Church of Satan. And they're all wearing, like, Ku Klux Klan hoods and upside-down crosses. And, like, they do satanic rituals with the drugs, you know. There's always going to be people who use narcotics, but people need to have clean access to those type of things, unfortunately, until we figure out why people are trying to escape, you know. So I'm really happy that this Venezuelan thing happened, and I think he should keep going. Preferably at a faster pace. You know, I wish that he would, you know, strike the facilities themselves. I know the NSA and reconnaissance office with the satellites can pick all those facilities up, and with AI, they're able to backtrack where all these drugs are being produced. And I just think enough is enough, and otherwise it's going to keep getting worse. I'm in Milwaukee. Every day I drive down the street and I see people slumped over. And they get sucked into it, and it's a physical process. They can't help it. For one reason or another, they take it once, and they get addicted. So I think it's about time someone put their foot down. And kudos to Trump for being man enough to do it. And I'm sure he's going to get a lot of flack for it, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you stand on it personally. It's kind of a nasty part about running a country, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still sitting back and waiting to see as it develops, because I want to make sure before I give a take on it 100% that we know. But obviously, I'm all on board for arresting commies. I wish we do that here in our country. And I wish we'd be more aggressive on that front. Sadly, we allow these communists to take powerful positions in this country, and there's very little pushback. And when we run the federal government, I mean, there's people who could be denaturalized and shipped on out. We hear the president talking about Ilhan Omar often, obviously. Zohra Mamdani, another one. All commies with ties to communism. And we are not really doing much. So it's very discouraging on that front. But Cheese Nader, thank you for joining the show. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. Don't go anywhere. We are up against a hard commercial break. Hunter Gaylor is going to be joining us in a moment. We've got a couple of questions to ask him regarding the economic ramifications for all this. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because right now, whenever you purchase a supplement, you're going to get a free bottle of the Atomic Defense as well. So head on over to the shop and make sure you grab yourself some supplements.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or the sky's falling or boy who cried wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. You know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support for the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver. They don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation, on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support and know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I cracked the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind to say, luck. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power. Energy on command. From the electron to storm. Come now, take a stand.
We have something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour, final lap of today's show. We've got a lot going on over here, a lot happening throughout the day, so we're excited you guys are still with us. But, you know, we're diving into a lot of really important things in regards to Venezuela, and I think people are thinking about the economic ramifications of all this. That will be the focus over the next few minutes on just that. But in case you're just joining us, I want to make sure we play this clip for you in case you missed it. In clip 14, you're going to hear Marco Rubio's stance in regards to the oil in Venezuela. I know a lot of the critics out there seem to think this is all about the oil, but take a listen to how Rubio says he's going to leverage that.
How do you plan to run the country?
Well, first of all, I think the important thing to point out is that the key to what that regime relies on and is their economy fueled by oil. And right now, it is an oil industry that is backwards and really needs a lot of help and work in terms of it. And not only that, but it doesn't help the people. None of the money from the oil gets to the people. It's all stolen by the people that are on the top there. And so that's why we have a quarantine. There's a quarantine right now in which sanctioned oil shipments, there's a boat, and that boat is under U.S. sanctions. We go get a court order, we will seize it. That that remains in place. And that's a tremendous amount of leverage that will continue to be in place until we see changes that not just further the national interest of the United States, which is number one, but also that lead to a better future for the people of Venezuela. And so that's the sort of control the president is pointing to when he says that. We continue with that quarantine, and we expect to see that there will be changes, not just in the way the oil industry is run for the benefit of the people, but also so that they stop the drug trafficking, so that we no longer have these gang problems, so that they kick the FARC and the ELN out, and that they no longer cozy up to Hezbollah and Iran in our own hemisphere.
I think it's really important for folks to understand that angle. Joining me to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He is the founder of Spencer Pruitt, and he joins us now to understand the economic ramifications for everything that unraveled this weekend. And it's been quite the busy weekend, Hunter, so we're excited to have you on the show today. When it comes to oil prices, obviously Venezuela, it's got a lot, We're over, 300 billion barrels of crude they do have right now. That's according to our own stats that we've gathered, just kind of going through what our federal government's made very apparent to us. So when we talk about oil in Venezuela, what do you expect to happen thus far right now, given the fact that our government's claiming that they're running the show over there?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, it was an incredible military operation, so we can start there.
Yeah.
I think what people, from an economic perspective, I think we have to remember back of the financial dimensions that's going on here, right, between China and Russia. Now, China began extending very large loans to Venezuela, and that was backed by future oil supplies. And obviously, as Marco says, there's a lot of oil there. We know it's a big deal. But they were, over the past 12 years, a third of, I think the number's $150 billion from the Chinese Development Bank loaned to Latin America, and a third of that went to Venezuela. And they weren't traditional loans. They're oil collateralized arrangements where Venezuela would repay through petroleum shipments to Chinese state companies. And so if you look at the flow of money, and I say this all the time, you got to follow the money, is... Rubio's right. I mean, it's the Western Hemisphere. Venezuela is no different from, in my opinion, what the Cuban Missile Crisis was, right? If Russia and China are loaning money, and I believe in your research department's probably bigger than mine, but they had Russian leaders that were sitting there saying, we have no problem sending, long-range missiles and hypersonic missiles to Venezuela. Well, look how close Venezuela is to the United States. So everything that we're doing, I think, from a monetary perspective, is setting up a defensive Western Hemisphere, geopolitical strategy. So I think it goes much deeper than just the drugs and the weapons and things like that that Maduro's being charged on, which rightfully so, I agree. He's totally screwed the country of Venezuela, but economically, Venezuela imploded. And when China extended additional lifelines, which was $10 billion loans to support the country's balance of the payments, it rocked the country. And so I think when you look at it from Maduro's mismanagement and destroyed the oil industry, which, by the way, the majority of U.S. oil companies and multinational corporations, oil companies here in the United States built those facilities down in Venezuela. So yeah, I think we have the right. America is the superpower of the Western Hemisphere. We should act like it. We provide enough aid and stuff to these countries anyway. I have no problem with what's being done and the matter of which it's being done.
Yeah, and Hunter, I actually want to play this clip too, because you're talking about not allowing our adversaries to get that close to us. That's something that Rubio also did echo. Let's play clip 12.
The purpose of the operation was to capture Maduro and bring him to justice. Why does the United States need to take over the Venezuelan oil industry?
Well, we don't need to. First of all, let me go back up. We don't need Venezuela's oil. We have plenty of oil in the United States. What we're not going to allow is for the oil industry in Venezuela to be controlled by adversaries of the United States. You have to understand, why does China need their oil? Why does Russia need their oil? Why does Iran need their oil? They're not even in this continent. This is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be a base of operation for adversaries, competitors, and rivals of the United States.
Have specific oil companies.
We also want to see that oil and the proceeds from it
Hold on. We want to see the oil proceeds of that country benefit the people of Venezuela. Why have 8 million people left Venezuela? 8 million, the single largest mass migration probably in modern history, left Venezuela since 2014 because all the wealth of that country was stolen to the benefit of Maduro and his cronies in the regime, but not to the benefit of people of Venezuela. You know how destabilizing 8 million migrants is? The number one fear that Brazil has, that Colombia has, that all these countries in the region have about what's happening in Venezuela and our involvement is they're afraid of another mass migration event. That's what they fear. This is deeply destabilizing stuff. It's not going to continue to happen. They are not going to come from outside of our hemisphere, destabilize our region in our own backyard, and us have to pay the price for it, not under President Trump.
Yeah, and I think that's a real bold move to make, and we appreciate the administration doing just that. But when it comes to oil prices here in the United States, I was watching over the weekend to see how the markets were going to react, and it did, you know, it was interesting because it did fall a bit on Sunday, but we're seeing it kind of come back up a little bit, but not by much. Do you think that oil is going to become a lot cheaper here in the U.S. now that this is all going on, or what do you expect to see from markets in response to that?
I mean, it remains to be seen. It'll be great for our oil companies to go in there. I mean, we're in the energy business. I mean, we do a lot of work in the oil and gas business. And I can tell you personally, we have technology and refinement that can process Venezuelan heavy crude. Mm-hmm. But I think from the real question here that I want the viewing audience to understand is there was a trade balance between Moscow and Caracas that I believe in either 2024 or 2025, I have to go back and look, increased by like 60 to 65%. Okay, because Russia viewed Venezuela through multiple lenses as an economic opportunity as well as a strategic global asset. It's no different. And now this is all theory and conjecture of me saying this, but if we pull out of NATO because we're having all these conversations about Ukraine and Ukraine's fighting, you know, Russia, if Ukraine joins NATO, then we can put nukes in Ukraine, which is shooting distance to Russia. Well, that's potentially the same thing that Russia could do to Venezuela. Now, I'm not saying that's maybe how they're thinking, but it's not about the oil. It's not about the drugs. I think it's setting us up for a strategic defensive posturing to let the world know, look, you know, if Russia's helping them to circumvent U.S. sanctions by facilitating these oil exports, yeah, we'll seize the oil so they don't get it, right? I have no problem with Russia or China paying billions of dollars to Venezuela for oil and then never getting it, right? I mean, that's just it's war, it's defensive. We're the superpower on this hemisphere, as Rubio said. So it's a very complex, very strategic geopolitical move. It's beyond the headlines right now. I think we're going to continue monitoring it, but you know, it goes back to, I think most people don't really understand when you use the terms geopolitics, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. There's a thing called the Heartland Theory, and then there's another one which basically talks about controlling the strategic port areas for maritime trade. And this is how, obviously, we're moving oil. So if we're seizing those tankers and bringing that in, it's going to benefit the U.S. Supply. And I believe Trump said over the weekend as well that, you know, maybe we'll use it to start restockpiling our strategic reserves that under the Biden administration and the Obama administration, they totally got rid of, right? And it benefited these other countries and it didn't benefit us. It wasn't an America first, you know, policy move or economic move for that matter. So, you know, I think that if Trump and Rubio cut off the energy flows to China and Russia, it's very good. But I think there's going to be a card that's going to be played later in the game. We could still war game it out. I'm sure we can have long conversations about it. But I think it's securing a foothold, and it resembles the Cuban Missile Crisis very, very, very closely. But we're using it in taking this guy out. Look, he was a criminal, right? Yeah. Let's just call him what he is, okay? You can blame it on the drugs. You can blame it on the weapons. He's a criminal. He's going to be tried in court. That's the move. What that means as a result for the rest of the way the U.S. is perceived, I see a lot of these knuckleheads on TV talking about, oh, we're going to go in and we're going to run the country like we did in these never-ending wars and everything in the Middle East. It's not. It has nothing to do with that, right? We're not going to go occupy Venezuela. We're going to get it stabilized. And look at all the people that came here. You know, as Rubio said, 8 million, that starts turning into a humanitarian crisis. And if you look at their currency is completely devalued, so hopefully that can be something that is addressed with their central bank and the way money flows. So I think it's good. I mean, listen, at one point, Venezuela was a beautiful, prospering, very rich country. And for us to have the relationship of being able to put people in power, have free and fair elections, and look, what else are we talking about? I'm sure Alex Jones will talk about it on his show, but look at what happened with the voting. I mean, Smartmatica and Dominion were involved in Venezuela, and I believe some of the stuff came from Venezuela. So there's a lot of stuff that is going on that is a direct result and opens up a lot of opportunities to fix things now that we have this guy in custody.
Yeah. And Hunter, you know, we're keeping our eye on all of that. I know everyone's floating the election stuff. We had one of former Lou Dobbs producer on the show earlier today, and Lou Dobbs was all over this and he had no problem covering it. And again, I mean, this is the part that's so frustrating. You know, a lot of us thought that there was suspicious activity going on in Venezuela in regards to the voting machines and other things as well. And unfortunately, they haven't been proven because, well, we haven't had the avenue to do just that. So we'll continue to watch it as it unravels. But again, it's accusations that so many people have been really fighting for to get to the bottom of to see if it's true or not. So we'll just allude to that for right now. But I wanted to dive into something else before you go, because this one I've been watching all morning, talking about silver prices specifically. Yeah. Obviously, China has a really good grip on this. China controls about 70% of the silver when it comes to big tech and AI and solar panel, and they've been utilizing this. And it's like a hostage situation at this point. What are you hearing about all of this? Because this is concerning right now. It stands at about, I think, $77 an ounce, and that's really, really significantly high.
Yeah, and look, silver is going to continue to go. I think it's a great investment. I hold a lot of silver myself personally. It's a critical and strategic resource. Number one. Number two, there's a lot of uses for silver, and the fact of the matter that it's just going to continue to increase is a good thing. With regards to China, yeah, I mean, look at how much they're producing. Look at all the things they're manufacturing. Look at all of the increase in technology and things like Huawei and BYD and all these major companies. They need the resource. And so that's going to drive up the price, obviously, right? So, and it's just in supply and demand economics, right? So the more supply, the more of the demand, right, you're going to get higher prices. And so you're seeing that a lot. But also, there's another thing that I was seeing is and I have to go look at this. I don't know if this is true or not, so don't quote me on this, but I was reading, I don't know if I saw it on X or if I was reading an archive to go back and look, they were saying how the prices were not being properly looked at what the global price was. They were saying it was around 70, 74, but there were reports that I think in Japan, their screens were showing 130. I don't know if that's true. I don't want to start a rumor, but I have to go back and look. It wouldn't surprise me if they manipulate the silver market for that exact reason. So it's just another form of economic warfare, but they need it. They need silver, just like we need silver. And once again, taking it back to Venezuela for a second, yeah, silver at 130. I don't know. I have to look into that and see if that's actually true. But yeah, that's what we were talking about. So, but like even with Venezuela, they're rich in minerals. They're rich in rare earth, which is what we need. Our own system in the United States, unfortunately, is broken from a supply chain perspective, from a procurement perspective. I mean, China is land banking right now in parts of Africa with these rare earth. They're not the same procurement processes as America. I've always said the silent killer of the United States government is its bureaucracy. It's its red tape. It's what I call the fifth branch of government, if you will, or the fourth branch of government. Along with all of the corruption and military-industrial complex. But, I mean, if you're a mine, it's very difficult to sell into the U.S. government if you don't have those government contracts. So the red tape that we have to deal with is frustrating. Look, America is rich in minerals and resources, but, you know, we still have to navigate all of the hurdles of the red tape to be able to get the licenses, the EPAs, the, you know, OSHA standards, all of these things to be able to mine and produce and set up facilities. I mean, even if you look at a rare earth mineral like antimony, we don't have the massive processing ability of refinement that some of these other big countries do in, say, China or Russia or even in parts of the Middle East. We just don't have it. And so, unfortunately, it leaves us to have to be able to procure it from other places, which is a problem. And I've always said it's a problem. And I raise it up with a lot of my colleagues that, you know, if we are going to have any type of investment into the U.S.'s rare earth or infrastructure buildup from a rare earth perspective, we have to secure our supply chains. And as a superpower on the Western Hemisphere, I think what Rubio is saying and should be articulating more is whatever these other countries have, whether it's Venezuela with the oil and rare earth or any of these other ones, we should take it and we should shore up our supply chain so we're not having to rely on these other countries for trade. So it is definitely both a political and an economic positioning, and it needs to be continued to monitor. But as far as U.S. superiority, it all comes down to us being able to have a secured and protected supply chain where we don't have to rely on the likes of rare earth from Russia or China or any of these other things. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch. And look, Russia and these companies, they've made threats. They've made multiple threats about deploying missiles to Cuba and Venezuela. That's why, if you saw over the weekend, he said, what are you going to take Cuba now? And yes, our eyes are on Cuba for this exact reason, right? It's an American military intervention. They're saying it's unnecessarily, you know, look at how they're falling, right? How Cuba's falling. So it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, we always go to the markets. Markets are up for the most part today. So we'll continue how the start of the first Q of 2026, but it's definitely starting out with a bang. That's for sure.
I mean, they kept me busy. Let's just say that it's been a very chaotic couple of days in 2026. But, you know, I'd expect nothing less from the Trump administration. They're putting the warning out there. They're letting all these other countries know, our adversaries know, that if they F around, they're going to find out. And so we could appreciate that. Hunter, thank you for all the incredible work you do. And thank you for joining us today and getting your insight on these issues. This is very important. So we appreciate it.
No, always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. We appreciate it, folks. Hunter Gaylor, he is the founder of Spencer Pruitt. And we appreciate his insight in all things related to the economic ramifications to all of this. So thank you, Hunter, for joining us. All right, let's dive back into some more callers because I know we've got a couple more folks on the line. Let's jump over to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back. Tim?
On Mark Kelly earlier. So congrats on Mark Kelly. And just, you know, for context, I mean, he became an astronaut like in 1996.
Yeah.
And then he married Gabby Giffords like 11 years later in 2007. And then 4 years later, Gabby Giffords, his wife, was one of those Congress on your corner things at a supermarket parking lot in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And she got shot in the head. And, I mean, six others were killed and 13 others were injured. It wasn't like just her. But still, she survived, but she couldn't carry on. So I don't know. I'm not giving him a get-off-the-hook moment. But my experience is, from what I saw, is from the time she got in the head, his wife got shot in the head in 2011 until now, he's kind of somewhat been understandably off the rails a bit. Anyways, that's not what I call about. What I call about is Zoran Mamdani. Of course, he did his whole swearing in thing and all that. And you can find all this on nyc.gov. So, I mean, I'm not making this up. And here's the exact quote in his inauguration speech. He said, "We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you couldn't have picked a worse time to say that until Donald Trump, you know, did what he did in Venezuela. So it's like, okay, you want to be a communist? Go ahead. March forward.
I don't know.
It's just, to me, that was like a soupy sales cream pie in the face moment where he said that, and within like less than 48 hours, every communist person on earth is running for cover.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tim, you're not wrong. It's frustrating to see. I think we played the clip too earlier in the show, but one of the members of his administration going out and saying there's that. And if you're white and you own property in New York, it's about to get real rough for you. So, you know, I always say it, but, you know, I, piss off commies. I mean, I just don't know how else to put it. I'm just so done with these people coming into our country, infiltrating. We let them keep them around. We should be deporting these people. We could obviously get rid of them in other countries, but we can't do it on our own. It's quite discouraging. Tim, thank you for calling. I want to make sure we have about 2 minutes left that I get to at least one more caller. So welcome to the show. Let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. I'm not going to try to take up a lot of time. Go to Dodig, DODIG.mil, and look for the audit of the U.S. Army's processes for providing supplies and equipment funded through the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. The report number is Dodig-2026-014. Now, Maduro, this guy, you know, President Trump takes it very personal when Maduro basically is a huge part of the blame for America in the past 5 years, because President Trump wanted him out. And so Maduro said, okay, I'm going to mess with the elections.
Yeah.
And he messed with the elections and took it from him. So in my opinion, President Trump is taking it very personal with this guy. And because of the way the country could have gone, I say this is a plus that he went and got. Also, I was looking up something else, and there was an attempt on J.D. Vance. Do you know about that?
Yeah, we talked about it briefly. So I don't know if he was home during the incident. You're referring to the one that happened outside of his home in Ohio where someone threw something through his windows. Yeah, I don't know what they threw. I know there's an arrest made, but we're waiting for more information on that front for sure.
Okay. And one more thing. Mm-hmm. The Israeli campaign propaganda has started again. A couple of nights ago, they showed a Trust Israel commercial on my TV. Me and my old lady said, what the F? Then an hour later, they showed, and I put screenshots and I tagged American Journal on X. The screenshots was for Christians and Jews Unite.
Yeah.
And to donate money.
I'm trying to find it now. My friend Eric Spracklin posted it on his X page too, because he lives in Tampa. He was passing by and there was a billboard. I can't find it. I'm doing it on the fly. But there was a billboard that he drove past that said something about like the Jewish, like wearing the Jewish stars, like one of the most dangerous things for someone to wear. I can't find it. He posts a lot of content on X, but I'm digging through it. Yeah, no, I mean, man, it's rough. Oh, I found it. If you think turbulence is scary, try wearing a Jewish star. That was the post. You guys are good. You guys are great. But yes, Alex, thank you. I appreciate it, of course. We appreciate everyone at home joining us today. Obviously, a lot to go into. A lot's happening, though, in the next hour. So buckle up, because the Alex Jones Show starts next. And that's when Nicolas Maduro is going to make his appearance in federal court. So don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh.